Welcome to the Soul Food Sneakers Podcast. My name is Dustin, and today I want to talk about sneaker innovation, or rather the lack of it. You know, sneakers, every week, every month, really every day, we're getting sneakers by the boatload. Sneaker releases, whether from Nike, Jordan, Adidas, Reebok, Saucony, Asics, New Balance. They're just, despite the fact that the sneaker industry is in kind of a rut, in kind of a valley, just in terms of, you know, there's just not a lot of hype around sneakers anymore. People are not really spending the money they used to spend on sneakers, and sneakers are just easier than ever to get for retail these days, or less, which is great for sneaker collectors and sneaker heads. But why is it? You know, we've talked on this podcast several times about the state of sneakers in 2023, 2024. We've talked several times about why some sneakers sit and other sneakers sell, about the resale industry basically bottoming out and being annihilated by just people spending their money on other things. The reality is that, here's what I think. Yes, people are spending their money on other things, and yes, sneakers are more readily available now than they have been in many years, and that's great for everybody but the reseller, but nobody cares about them. And the reality is that I think that a fatigue is starting to set in, because what we're getting every quarter, every season, from these announcements, whether it's New Balance or Nike or Jordan or Adidas, is retros. They're just re-releasing old shoes over and over and over again. There's very, very few actual innovative new technologies being introduced. There's very little in the way of sneakers that are doing something that has never been done before. You know, even talking about like something like the New Balance 991 V2, which is a brand new silhouette New Balance introduced last year. It's one of my favorite sneakers of the year. It's one of the most comfortable sneakers I own. Has some of the best materials. The price point was very, very high because of the materials, and because the materials, the shoe is built by hand-ish in Flimby in the UK. So all of those things, it's just a very expensive shoe for a runner. But it's a brand new silhouette. The problem is, okay, it's a new silhouette. It's a new looking shoe. It's a new version of the New Balance 991, which is a very popular silhouette in New Balance's catalog. The thing is there any new tech in the shoe? There really isn't. It has the same gel that other New Balance shoes have. It has the same absorb midsole foam that other New Balance shoes have. It has the same suede, pig suede uppers that other New Balances have. We're not getting much in the way of new materials or new technologies, even in new silhouettes. Do I expect that every time a shoe is released that these sneaker brands and companies are inventing brand new types of foam, brand new types of, you know, discovering brand new materials from plant or animal sources to put on those shoes? No, I'm not expecting that, but I do think that this kind of culture of the retro culture within sneaker culture it's getting to the point where people are just getting tired of sneaker companies, quite frankly, re-releasing shoes that we've already seen several times. You know, Nike's trying to do something a little bit different with the Reimagined series of shoes, where they're taking silhouettes and colorways that have been around for many, many years, in some cases since 1985, in the case of the Air Jordan 1 Chicago Lost and Found that came out, and they're doing something different with it. You know, with the Lost and Found, they aged it. They cracked the leather. They yellowed the midsole. They made it look like the shoe has been sitting in a box for 30 years. I mean, that's cool. The Air Jordan 4 Bred Reimagined that just came out last week or a couple weeks ago, you know, instead of having a new buck upper like the original Air Jordan 4 Breds had, these ones have a leather upper, which is cool. And those shoes were very popular and they sold out very quickly and everybody seems to love them. But still, it's a silhouette from 1989. It's a colorway from 1989. And really the only difference other than them kind of retooling the shape is that it has leather instead of nubuck. Like, that's as innovative as you can get, Nike. You're worth many billions of dollars. Even today, like the LeBron 4 Fruity Pebbles released. The LeBron 4 Fruity Pebbles originally came out in 2000 and, I'm trying to remember here, was it 4? 2006? I think it was 2006. Anyways, the original LeBron Fruity Pebbles came out in the mid-2000s, the mid-aughts. And they're very popular. Were they a PE or did they actually release? I think they actually released to the public. Anyways, it's a LeBron 4, which is like a very big shoe covered in foamposite material. And it's a very loud rainbow-ish colorway with a bunch of like Fruity Pebble. So it's a collaboration with the cereal Fruity Pebbles because that was LeBron's favorite cereal growing up. And so they made a shoe out of his favorite cereal where they actually collaborated with the brand on the shoe. So there's Fruity Pebbles branding all over it, whatever. Anyway, it came out in 2006. It was very, very highly sought after. It sold out very quickly and has been on the secondary market for, you know, a lot of money ever since. Well, they just dropped today. Now, that's cool. And Nike seems to be doing this with all of LeBron's old shoes. Whether it's player edition shoes that only he ever wore, or famous colorways like the Fruity Pebbles or the from a few years ago, the LeBron 8 South Beach, which he dropped to celebrate his decision to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers for the Miami Heat and create a super team there with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and go on to win a couple of championships with that team before returning to Cleveland and before eventually moving on to the Lakers where he would win another championship. My God, this man is a good basketball player. Just even saying those things out loud. Like, he's a very good basketball player. Anyways, the cool thing about the Fruity Pebbles is that they originally released in 2006, which is the year that he won his first MVP. And they're a very loud, cartoonish looking shoe. Obviously, they're called the Fruity Pebbles. It's not a shoe I would wear. It's not a shoe I would buy. Because they have that very expensive foamposite material on them, I think they retail for like $330 Canadian, which is an outrageous amount of money to pay for a LeBron sneaker from 2006 that looks like something a clown would wear. But I digress. The double-edged sword about this shoe is that on the one hand, Nike's doing this thing where they're giving people a chance to cop old LeBron shoes that they initially weren't either able to cop or were very hard to get their hands on. I got the LeBron 8 South Beaches. I love having those shoes in my collection. I don't wear them very much because they're pretty loud, but you know, that's a classic moment in sneaker history and in basketball history if you're a hoop head. I have the LeBron 7 Media Day shoes that he wore during his first Media Day press conference when he first joined up with the Lakers. One of those shoes is purple. One of them is yellow. Those were initially only made for LeBron to wear in games, and they weren't initially available to the public, but Nike ended up releasing them to the public. So that's cool when they do those things, and it's cool when Nike can give us shoes like the Air Max 90 Bacon that used to cost like $1,200 to $1,500 to get your hands on, and now you can get for like $200-ish or less. The thing is, like, all Nike really has, and Jordan Brand really has as well, because Jordan is worse for this than Nike, with just essentially, you know, Jordan Brand has kind of gone down three separate streams here. They have the retro stream, which is by far their most profitable, where they just keep returning and re-releasing old silhouettes, particularly silhouettes from Jordan's 1 to 11, 12, 13 maybe. But these are shoes that people typically aren't really asking for. A lot of sneakerheads already have a lot of these shoes that they're re-releasing in their collection. The other stream that Jordan Brand is on is the basketball stream. And really, basketball shoes is the only place that you're really going to find tech, new tech. Maybe some running shoes from some running companies are finding ways to introduce advanced or brand new technologies into their shoes. I think the last time Nike introduced new technology into its running shoe line was possibly the Alpha Next. I can't remember. Anyways, new technologies are few and far between. And with Jordan Brand, if they're not releasing retros, they're releasing, you know, basketball shoes for playing basketball in. But even then, they're not really introducing new tech. They're just introducing old tech into new silhouettes. And the third stream that Jordan Brand is on is that they're doing this kind of mashup of, you know, you can go into a Foot Locker or whatever, wherever you get your shoes, and you can find like a Jordan, I think it's called the Flight, Jordan Flight Club or something like that, where it's like three or four, they're elements from like three or four different retro shoes smushed together to create this new version of a Jordan, which is much cheaper and uses much cheaper materials, and therefore the shoes are much cheaper. But I don't know. It's one of the weirder streams that Jordan Brand has participated in. But it offers people the option to cop Jordans for cheap. And I do see a lot of those Jordan Frankenstein shoes out there, particularly on kids' feet. And the thing about kids is that they will outgrow their shoes quickly. They will beat their shoes into the ground quickly. And unless you have a lot of disposable income to spend on shoes for your kids that they're going to outgrow and beat into the ground right away, parents aren't usually willing to spend full Jordan price on Jordans for the kids. So this is kind of a cool way to get Jordans on your kids' feet without breaking the bank. But yeah, the retro thing, it's tough, because I do get excited when I look at what's coming out in summer 2024 and I'm like, oh, the Air Jordan 4 Military Blue is coming back out. That's great. I don't have that colorway of that shoe. I have 7 other different colorways of the Air Jordan 4, but not that one. The Air Jordan 11 Columbia is coming out in holiday 2024. That's cool. I don't have that Air Jordan 11. I have several other different colorways, but not that one. The Air Jordan 4 Fear, from the Fear Pack is coming out in, I think, the fall or something like that. Cool. I have that, but it'd be nice to get a new pair because my pair is pretty beat up. Like, this is kind of like the thing with sneakers these days, is that you look at what's coming up and you get excited about a few things and you get excited about these shoes that, but it's like, I already have 7 of these. I already have 7 Air Jordan 4s with that same color blocking as the Military Blue has, but, you know, it becomes this kind of like game of like, let's give the sneaker buying public this one slightly different shade of this one shoe. You know, the Air Jordan 1 has gotten really, really bad for this, and the Air Jordan 1 is really kind of in a tough spot right now. There was a time during COVID and stuff like that where the Air Jordan 1 would just fly off shelves in any colorway at any time. Part of that had to do with The Last Dance. Part of it had to do with just, you know, being on lockdown and having money and I mean, not spending as much money doing other stuff. So people are spending more money on sneakers, et cetera, et cetera. But anyways, the Air Jordan 1 now is just so, the market is just so saturated with these shoes. And they're all, every time a Jordan 1 releases, it's like this slightly different shade of Jordan 1 than, you know, 17 other colors that have already come out in that relatively same shade. It's getting quite bad, actually. And I really, really, I would love it if, let's say, for example, we get 5 retro releases from whatever sneaker brand, and then like one innovative release, one release that's like unlike anything they've done before. If it doesn't have new technology, at least it uses the technology it has on hand in a different way. You know, on March, so Air Max Day is every year on March 26th. I can't remember why they chose March 26th as Air Max Day. I'm sure it has something to do with, maybe that was when the first Air Max was released. I don't know. Anyways, Nike has decided that March 26th is Air Max Day. So every year on March 26th, Nike releases a bunch of Air Max sneakers. Some of them are retros that have not been previously available. Some are, you know, new releases. I think I saw that, for example, the Air Max 1 Royal is coming back out, but this time in its big bubble version. The Air Max 1 big bubble in the University Red colorway came out last year. Some people loved it, some people hated it. I loved it. I think it's comfortable, and I think it's cool that they released that sneaker in its original form, big bubble form. But anyway, they're releasing the Royal version of this, I think, on Air Max Day. Anyways, the coolest thing about Air Max Day, regardless of how you feel about the sneaker and how it looks, is that Nike's actually releasing a brand new Air Max with brand new technology. It's called the Air Max DN. So they've already got the Air Max TN, which they've been re-releasing lots of colorways of recently. I have one that is a collaboration between, or a collaboration with Pata and the Barcelona pro soccer team. This is the Air Max DN. And I'm just going to read here on their kind of press release. DN stands for dynamic air. Okay, so served up courtesy of the 4-tubed air unit, it emphasizes delivering a smooth stride with maximum bounce. Its dual chamber design is comprised of 2 tubes per chamber, allowing air to respond with each unique step. The feeling of heel-to-toe movement is seamless because the air unit is interacting in real time with your foot and moves with you. The Air Max DN was the first time that we were able to unlock that feeling. That was from Reggie Hunter, product director for Nike Lifestyle Footwear. Beyond the innovative air unit, the sole also utilizes injected Phylon foam, a TPU shank arch clip, and a TPU heel counter to fuse comfort with durability. So, that's sneaker tech speak for a shoe that they've never done before in a way that they've never done it before. And it's kind of cool. It's quite sleek looking. The air units in the back look like little balls of air that you're kind of stepping on. Kind of has the feeling of the Air Max 270, which came out on Air Max Day several years ago and was a bit of a hit. But I'm hoping that this sneaker does well, solely because I think with a company like Nike, and this is really every footwear company, anytime a sneaker does really well that pushes new technology or pushes technology in a way that it's never used it before, it's encouraged to keep putting its money into innovation and new technologies. Every sneaker brand will tell you that they're always, that they have a whole team of people looking for the next innovative sneaker tech thing. The reality is that brands are most focused on the thing that's going to make them the most money. If Air Jordan 1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s are what butters Nike's bread, that's what they're going to be putting most of their resources into, not Air Max Dynamic Air that nobody cares about. I don't know what these are going to do. I think that they're going to do relatively well. I think that, you know, they're releasing two colorways from Nike, one in a black and one in a like a neon orange purplish color. There's also, they've already announced their first collab on this model with none other than Supreme. So Supreme is releasing a couple of their own colorways in their typically loud Supreme-ish way. So we'll see on March 26th how these land and how people feel about them. Am I going to buy a pair? I don't think I will. I know that that is just so hypocritical of me because I'm sitting here lamenting the fact that we don't ever get anything new from Nike. And then, you know, when we do get something new, I'm like, I'm good. Meanwhile, I'm like really excited for my 8th version of the Air Jordan 4 when the military blue releases in May, but whatever. I'm not saying do what I do. I'm saying do what I say. And what I'm saying to you, Nike, and what I'm saying to you, New Balance, and what I'm saying to you, Adidas, Saucony, On, Salomon, whoever's listening, like, give us more innovation. Give us more tech. Give us more new things. Like, instead of releasing one new sneaker for Air Max Day, release five. Give us five brand new silhouettes with new technologies instead of one brand new sneaker with new technology and 18 retros, you know? Again, sneaker companies are going to do whatever people spend their money on. And I just told you I'm probably not going to buy these new Air Maxes, and I probably am going to buy the retro stuff that's coming out later this year. And I guess I am the problem. And we as sneakerheads who collect the classic stuff are also the problem. And, you know, is that going to change? Are sneaker companies going to finally hit the wall of like, wow, nobody is buying any product anymore because everybody's just tired of retros and the new stuff we come up with isn't good enough, and so sneakers have just kind of fallen off the face of the earth. I don't know that it'll ever get that dire, but I think we're trending in that direction as sneaker consumers and as sneaker culture in general. And, you know, in any culture, in any kind of like corner of the world, whether it's, you know, art, sport, fashion, music, at a certain point, these things hit a wall. And the only way past that wall is to invent and discover technologies that break through it. You know, you might have the technology to break through a plaster wall, but you need to invent new technology that can get through brick when all you have right now is technology that can get through plaster. I don't know if that analogy makes any sense to you, but the point is, once music hits a wall, everybody's waiting for the innovation that's going to take music through the wall. Once fashion hits a wall, yes, fashions are recycled. We're seeing 90s come back in a big way. Everybody's wearing 90s clothes now. You know, people are still looking for that next innovative fashion thing that's going to catch on. Art is the same way. Certainly sneakers are the same way. I think we're all kind of like waiting for that next big sneaker innovation to break us through the wall of kind of monotony that the sneaker industry has become and sneaker releases have become in this kind of dirge of like endless retros and re-releases. And will the Air Max DN be a part of that revolution? I really don't know. I really don't think so. But I think that if it sells well and it does well, that it will encourage Nike to continue on that path. And that's probably the best that we can hope for right now. But there you go. There's a there are my thoughts on sneakers and innovation and retros and, you know, more thoughts on the state of sneakers in 2024, which really the state of sneakers in 2024 is essentially just, you know, endless retros and re-releases. But thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. Thank you for subscribing, liking, and commenting on the pod. And we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. I think our next episode is going to be about sneakers and art. We're going to look at the history of artists, graffiti artists, tattoo artists, fine artists, contemporary artists, and some of their most celebrated and lauded sneaker collaborations. Sneakers are a fantastic canvas and have historically been a fantastic canvas for artists to play on. Artists like Futura, Cause, tattoo artists like Mr. Cartoon, contemporary artists like you know, Keith Haring, etc., etc. So see you back here in a couple of weeks for a deep dive into that topic. In the meantime, please take care and goodbye.